You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Minutes past the hour. You're back on the Mike Allen Show here on Breadbox Media. Not sure what's going on. Gummed up computer or something. Some bumper music sounds a little bit like when you had your back when you had your old LP records. See, kids, there were these things called vinyl records. And when they would go, that's kind of what bumper sounds like. So, little throwback today. Again, I you can blame my sluggishness on lack of caffeine. Not sure about the computer this morning. Anyway, welcome into Breadbox Media. If you want to get to know our network better as we are seeking across the digital landscape to bring the good news of Jesus Christ and his love and the beauty and the richness of the church that he founded upon St. Peter and the apostles to accompany, to explain, to share a common journey, whatever. Check it all out at breadboxmedia.com. You can read about our contributors who are literally on here from coast to coast. And, of course, you can listen through streaming, through an app for your digital device, or you can listen to podcasts after the fact. In fact, you can subscribe as well. Go to Podbean or iTunes or Google Play and subscribe to your favorite podcasts, or even including this program. You can also become a friend of your show of choice and get exclusive online content for that show. Do so at breadboxmedia.com and click on Become a Friend of the Show. If you want to chime in, we'd love to hear from you. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. Or you can email me, mikeallenshow@gmail.com, asking a question of the day about science. My guest next hour is Dr. Stacy Trisankos, who is a wife and homeschooling mother of seven, holds a PhD in chemistry from Penn State University and a Master of Arts in Dogmatic Theology from Holy Apostles College and Seminary, worked as a chemist for DuPont in the Lycra and Teflon business, now teaches chemistry and physics for the Colby Academy online homeschool program, and she's the science department chair. So she knows her stuff, and my question to you about science is, which branch of science, and I'm probably really talking about the hard sciences, right? We're not talking about social sciences or and so forth. We're talking primarily about the hard sciences. Which one did you find most challenging? Which branch? And which did you find most enjoyable in school? Were you, did you love physics and you hated biology, for example? Did you just love zoology in college? Couldn't get enough of it. Geology. What is it? Which branch of science gave you the most trouble in school, and which did or do you most enjoy? There's no question to me which one gave me the most trouble in school, but it wasn't until college. I actually thought that I kind of enjoyed chemistry. At least I did in high school, and went off to study in college at the University of Kentucky, with plans to be a chemical engineering major. I was a little bit following my sister's initial path because that's what she went into too, but I thought, yeah, sounds pretty good. So enjoyed it for the first year or so. And then my second year, I took organic chemistry. Now, it didn't help that I was in one of these large public university classrooms where there's about 200 or 300 people. But all the little pentagrams with the C's and the H's and the O's coming off of them, no thank you. I struggled greatly with organic chemistry, and so therefore after that semester I decided I could see the handwriting on the wall. If you don't like organic chemistry, you're not going to like chemical engineering, so I switched over to electrical engineering. Not that I found that any easier, mind you. But what say you? 573-4BREAD-4. You can call or text that number. You can email me, mikeallenshow@gmail.com. Or you can post your response on Facebook or on Twitter. We've got a little of that already. Shannon says, I would say that chemistry was the science I had more difficulty in than others. I really enjoyed physics in high school. In college, I took an astronomy class, and because I never studied, I barely passed. Funny how that works, huh? The labs were fun, though. The other science I took in college, because at the time I wasn't planning on doing anything involving medical or computer science. So I figured, why not take science classes that were interesting? And that was geology. 15 years later, she says, I think as interesting as those classes were, if I ever want to get into some kind of medical training, i.e. nursing or radiology tech, it would have been wiser to have taken anatomy and or organic chemistry. Not organic! Ah, well, she says. And then Alan says, chemistry equals math, and math doesn't work well with Alan's brain. Biology, on the other hand, is fascinating to me. I majored in it for a while. Share some more responses a little bit later in the program. But, science. I think I said last week we were talking about math, that I found math comforting. For some reason, I must have some sort of twisted mind, but I find math comforting. At least math before you get into the crazy kind of math and like graduate school mathematics majors. And then they would say, ah, the illusion of comforting math. But let me live with my illusions. It's easier that way. 573-4-BREAD-4. 573-4-BREAD-4. Not a lot of huge sports news over the weekend. We're kind of in that lull. There's Wimbledon going on, but doesn't it seem like it takes forever to get through the Wimbledon field? I think maybe we're down to the quarterfinals now of the women. I'm not sure about the men. One big news was, you know, it's a big free agent market for the NBA right now. And Kevin Durant, who had been the most coveted free agent on the market, I believe, making the decision, at least one who might leave, making the decision to leave Oklahoma City and to sign with the Golden State Warriors, which makes for a pretty powerful. I mean, when you combine Kevin Durant, who's easily one of the top three or four players in the NBA, with the Splash Brothers, a.k.a. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, going to a team that has lacked a dominant inside presence and yet won 73 games in the regular season anyway. As Ray Ratto of the Bay Area News says, this Golden State Warriors talked Kevin Durant into creating the NBA's newest version of the Avengers. And how the Warriors may go pretty quickly from being a team that won the hearts of many fans who began to lose a little shine off their star in their conduct in the playoffs, now being a villainous ball club. We'll see if that happens. If you're Oklahoma City, you got to be devastated. There's no replacing Kevin Durant. And you were so close to beating the Warriors anyway, and now that ship has sailed. And the other big news is the mayor of Rio continues to be honest, painfully honest about preparations there in South America's largest city for the 2016 Olympic Games. You know, you thought the big concern was Zika. The Zika virus, probably not as big a concern because it'll be winter, so to speak, in Rio when they're down there for the Olympics. One of the big issues is crime, and the mayor of Rio coming out a month before the games, basically, and lashing out at state officials over the policing of violent crime. Eduardo Paes, the mayor of Rio, said this is the most serious issue in Rio, and the state is doing a terrible, horrible job. It's completely failing at its work of policing and taking care of people. So if you're an Olympian, living the dream, ready to go to Rio, that has to be a little disconcerting for you, and need to pray that they can get that right before it's too late. All right, let's move on to our What Were You Thinking awards for the day. We've got a few excellent nominees. Go dumb or go home. I'm sure we'll have in a couple of days stories of people doing crazy things with fireworks, but none of those stories available yet. Anyway, this first one from Conestoga Township, PA, a woman in Lancaster County, which I think is not far from Philadelphia, made a startling discovery when she returned home from work last month. She found a stranger asleep in her living room. The incident occurred on June 21st at a home along the first block of Safe Harbor Village. According to police, a 32-year-old woman came home from work to find a handwritten note on her door that read, quote, "Don't be scared when you come in. Bob is here." When she walked in her home, she found a man later identified as the 28-year-old Robert Sheets. I guess the aforementioned Bob, sleeping on her living room sofa. Police say he was under the influence of a controlled substance. Imagine that. And was in possession of several pills not prescribed to him. Investigators say the woman's boyfriend knows Sheets, but not that well. The boyfriend did not know how Sheets found out where he lived and told police he never gave Sheets permission to be on the property. Don't be scared. Bob is here. Well, if you left a note, that's got to make it all right. Our second nominee has to be the Oklahoma gun range owner who insists that the howitzer at his gun range fired safely, even if it did blast a house 3 miles away. An Oklahoma home damaged last weekend by a howitzer artillery shell fired from a gun range 3 miles away. The shell, 14 inches long and 3.5 inches across, crashed through exterior wall, hit the ceiling, and damaged another wall while homeowner Gene Kelly and his wife were in another room. A 105-millimeter howitzer. Now, listen, I'm all for the Second Amendment, but really, I guess if you outlaw howitzers, only outlaws will have howitzers. We'll be back. This is the Mike Allen Show.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
We're right at the bottom of the hour, back on the Mike Allen Show here on Breadbox Media. Again, would love to hear from you. What's the science subject in school that gave you the most trouble, and which is the one you enjoyed the most? 573-4-BREAD-4, if you want to call or text, 573-4-BREAD-4. You can email me, mikeallenshow@gmail.com, or you can post your response on Facebook or on Twitter. Julie on Facebook says, "I think physics is just boring. I loved microbiology." Mark says, "Math. Yes, math is a form of science. I always struggle with numbers. Saw a balance sheet a few years ago and swear the numbers moved on the page." Well, Mark is a seminarian, of course. I don't think you're going to have a lot of math to do in the priesthood, except maybe your parish budget. Then Amy says, "Trouble equals physics. Most enjoyed physiology." Amy, you obviously did all right, as you are now a practicing pharmacist. 573-4-BREAD-4, as I said, or you can email me, mikeallenshow@gmail.com. Keep all victims of violence in your prayers. Just more violence over the weekend. You had a massive ISIS suicide bombing this weekend in central Baghdad, bringing the death toll to 175 people there. Iraq has historically been one of the really cradles of civilization and even a cradle of Christianity. It's just devastating what's happened there in that country. I was watching a little bit yesterday of the movie The Hurt Locker, which I had not seen before, which tells a story of a particular small band of soldiers whose job, I think, was to identify and defuse IEDs and other sorts of roadside bombs. The film, I didn't see all of it, didn't see how it ended, but really did an outstanding job of portraying, at least at a cinematic level, to the degree that it can, the level of tension that it must involve being in places where you don't know who you can trust. You don't know who's the enemy and who's a citizen, just a normal citizen. It's awful, awful. And the people of Baghdad have been through a lot, as those soldiers who have been there. So pray for them and those who were at one of Islam's holiest sites in Medina, a suicide bomber there. Here is, we've gotten to the end of their Ramadan. Just goes to show you this, again, we are not at war with Islam. If the war is the West versus Islam, somebody needs to give the people of Baghdad and Medina the memo, and Pakistan and other places like that. We are at war with a particularly virulent strain of Islam. 573-4BREAD-4 if you want to chime in. Anyway, we got through two of our nominees for the What Were You Thinking Award of the Day, but we have not yet given our winner. So without further ado, again, go dumb or go home. We're going to give the winner, actually, to our former president and possible first man, Bill Clinton, and Attorney General Loretta Lynch, for having a private meeting, impromptu, so they claimed. But even so, a meeting, a private meeting at an Arizona airport that doesn't exactly help with the optics of the race and Hillary Clinton's trustworthiness. I mean, she's already, that's her biggest Achilles heel, with the whole email scandal and issues related to Benghazi and so forth. And she's being investigated by Loretta Lynch. The optics of Loretta Lynch having a private meeting with someone she's investigating's husband, even Loretta Lynch is admitting, was not a good idea. So that's our, what were you thinking? For people who should know better, really, honestly. Who can you trust? Seriously. 573-4BREAD-4, 573. We're always looking for your nominees. If you've got one you want to send our way, 573-4BREAD-4, or email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com. I love that story. Back to that nominee of the, you know, it's bad when you top the gun range owner who insists that the howitzer was fired safely, even though it blasted a home 3 miles away. Mike Friend, owner of the Fast Machine Gun Shoot, who has the 105-millimeter howitzer, said it was not on a level plane, but on a downward trend pointed downhill in the bottom of the valley. For that thing to rise and go far northwest of the range, it's just unheard of. It's just a freak accident. Unheard of. Of course, as they say, the only way to stop a bad guy with a howitzer is to have a good guy with a howitzer. Anyway, I digress. Let's look back at history a little bit on this day, July 5th throughout the ages. Speaking of science, Isaac Newton's great work, Principia, was published on this day in 1687 by the Royal Society in England. Outlines his laws of motion and universal gravitation. I guess Newton is to the hard sciences maybe what Aquinas is to philosophy. In 1830, the French occupied the North African city of Algiers. You know, unless you get out a map, it's easy to forget how close the northern coast of Africa is to Europe, particularly the further west you get. And that relationship between France and Algeria, an interesting one. If you've ever seen the movie Of Gods and Men about the French Trappist monks living in Algeria, you know, you'll realize the tensions there. It's always that religious persecution versus rebellion against imperialism. It all gets kind of mixed up in one bad cauldron. The martyrs become victims of it. Let's see. In 1942, Ian Fleming graduated from a training school for spies in Canada. I guess used what he learned well to write his James Bond novels. Happy birthday today to Huey Lewis, 66 years old today. James Lofton, the Hall of Fame wide receiver, 60 years old today. Bill Watterson, the American cartoonist, is 58 today, the creator of the Calvin and Hobbes strip. 57 is Mark Cohn, the singer of Walkie in Memphis. In 1975, actually, we got two Wimbledon anniversaries. Today, in 1975, Arthur Ashe became the first black man to win a Wimbledon singles title as he defeated Jimmy Connors. And 5 years later, this is a match I remember watching. Bjorn Borg beat John McEnroe in five sets, 8-6 in the final set. That was a classic matchup. I think I said last week or two, I really liked watching John McEnroe play, because he was somebody who played with such passion and left it all on the course, even despite his attitude issues. I was reading a little bit about Arthur Ashe, the late Arthur Ashe, who died with such dignity, even while being so unfairly infected with AIDS through a blood transfusion. Arthur Ashe, a guy who deserves more credit, more attention for his career, not only in, of course, the brave way he faced his death, but in the poison class with which he carried himself. He goes to show you don't have to scream and yell and throw things to be a passionate competitor. There can be a sort of a quiet burn, you know. That's why I always felt like a guy like Tony Dungy, the NFL coach, got a bad rap, that he wasn't passionate enough just because he didn't yell and scream. You know, the different ways to skin a cat. And Arthur Ashe, certainly admirable, one of the great admirable Americans. Now, one other thing that happened on this day, by the way, in 1852, Frederick Douglass, fugitive slave, former fugitive slave, delivered his What to the Slave is the Fourth of July speech to the Ladies Anti-Slavery Society in Rochester, New York. As it says in this one piece, he condemns the celebration as a hypocritical sham. I think that's a little bit of a caricature, a generalization of what Frederick Douglass actually did. And I want to talk about this a little bit, because I think this is, I read this speech, I'd never read it before, Frederick Douglass' speech to this historical society. And, you know, for all of the attention that, for example, and rightly so, Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech, I Have a Dream, particularly his words about a promissory note not being yet fulfilled, a check that has not been cashed for freedom for the Negro or for the African American, as Martin Luther King Jr. would have talked about. Frederick Douglass talking about this back before the Civil War in this speech that he gave in Rochester. And it's a fascinating, very long oratory, of course, but a powerful one indeed, there on the right after the 76th birthday of our country. He begins by talking very positively about the 4th of July. I noticed over the weekend, there were a few friends of mine who posted things on their social media wall, on their Facebook wall, that they had mixed feelings about the 4th of July this year. Mixed feelings because of what they see happening to this country, and this country is losing its center, and it's losing its faith, and you know, people, their religious freedom under threat, and so forth. And it was a nostalgic yearning of sorts for a day of what this country used to be. In my opinion, you got to be careful with those sorts of things, because I mean, that this is a little bit, I think, of what's driving the Trump campaign. Make America great again. Well, exactly when were you talking about Donald Trump? Because as we'll get into when we come back from the break with this speech from Frederick Douglass, all depends on who's defining the greatness, I guess. We'll be back with more here on the Mike Allen Show. You're listening to Breadbox Media. Be back on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
15 minutes before the hour, you're back on the Mike Allen Show here on Breadbox Media. Check out our full programming schedule at breadboxmedia.com. Again, our question of the day, what branch of science gave you the most trouble in school and which did you enjoy most? I'll be talking next hour with my guest, Dr. Stacy Trisankos, who is a chemist and a homeschooling mother. Got her PhD from Penn State and actually her MA in theology from Holy Apostles Seminary. So we'll be talking to some to her about how thorough materialism, being someone committed to thoroughly investigating the material world, and she considered herself a strict materialist before coming to faith in God, but how science and faith complement one another and are not incompatible. In fact, she's got a new book coming out about that, but an excellent essay we'll be talking about her with as well, called These Thy Atoms. She's fascinating with matter at an atomic level. If that immediately gives you cold sweats, then you need to let me know. Again, what was the science in school that you struggled with? What was the one in which you thrived? 573-4BREAD-4. You can call or text, or you can email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com. Again, back to this speech Frederick Douglass gave on this day back in 1852, the 76th anniversary of this country. He was invited to speak in Rochester, New York, to a gathering there of the Ladies Anti-Slavery Society. And as I said, you know, after seeing some posts from some friends this weekend saying they had mixed feelings about celebrating the 4th this year for what this country is becoming, I think everything, this is where history is helpful in granting us some perspective. Because what we maybe viewed as a time in American history that was great, there'd be other Americans who would argue with that. And certainly Frederick Douglass, when he was invited to speak, had some things to say. As a formerly escaped slave, someone who worked for the abolition of slavery, he himself had a hard time celebrating the 4th of July as Independence Day. But he wasn't an embittered man. I mean, it's interesting to see this speech, which I'm going to post a link to it on the show's Facebook page. One of the things you notice from the beginning is he does not shrink back from talking about what he admired in the founding fathers of this country. Things that were qualities that were worth imitating, for example. But he also talked very much about July 4th and the Independence Day celebrations as something detached from himself. Just to give you a little snippet here. He said, "This, for the purpose of this celebration, is the 4th of July. It is the birthday," Douglass said, "of your national independence and of your political freedom. This to you is what the Passover was to the emancipated people of God. It carries your minds back to the day and to the act of your great deliverance and to the signs and to the wonders associated with that act and that day. This celebration also marks the beginning of another year of your national life and reminds you that the Republic of America is now 76 years old." He goes on, of course, to talk about how while 76 years of age might make a man elderly, it was a mere speck, Douglass said, in the life of a nation. That's what gave him hope, he said, for the future of the country, given the fact that his concern, which he'll talk about here in a minute. He then goes on to talk about how much he admired the founding fathers of this country. He said, "Feeling themselves harshly and unjustly treated by the home government, your fathers, like men of honesty and men of spirit, earnestly sought redress. They petitioned and remonstrated. They did so in a decorous, respectful, and loyal manner. Their conduct was wholly unexceptionable. This, however, did not answer the purpose. They saw themselves treated with sovereign indifference, coldness, and scorn." He goes on to talk about how much that he admired them. He said, "Pride and patriotism, not less than gratitude, prompt you to celebrate and to hold it in perpetual remembrance. I've said that the Declaration of Independence is the ringbolt to the chain of your nation's identity. So indeed, I regard it. He said, I'm not wanting in respect for the fathers of this republic. The signers of the Declaration were brave men. They were great men, too great enough to give frame to a great age. So, again, this is not a man who is embittered. This is a man who is acknowledging and seeing greatness. And yet, as G.K. Chesterton once said, the true patriot is always a little bit sad. He loves his country, and yet he dreams for how much more his country could be. Douglas goes on to say, friends and citizens, I need not enter further into the causes which led to this anniversary. Many of you understand them better than I do. You could instruct me in regard to them. But then he goes on to say, why have I been called upon to speak here today? What have I, or those I represent, to do with your national independence? Are the great principles of political freedom and of natural justice embodied in that Declaration of Independence extended to us? And am I, therefore, called upon to bring our humble offering to the national altar and to confess the benefits and express devout gratitude for the blessings resulting from your independence to us? He said, I say with a sad sense of the disparity between us, I'm not included within the pale of this glorious anniversary. It's really a powerful speech. I want to go ahead and post it to the show's Facebook page, because what he's calling America to be, he's in a very prophetic manner. Typically, as we've talked about before, the biblical prophets, when they challenged their own people, it was not challenging them into some sort of new, unheard of vision of who they could be. It was to call them back to the very things they claimed at the very beginning, part of their founding vision. In a sense, it's sort of like what went on, what Douglas is doing here, what Martin Luther King Jr. has done, what others have done throughout the history of this country, is to call us both backwards and forwards, much like what happened at the Second Vatican Council of the Catholic Church. When the church gathered in their most recent worldwide gathering of bishops, successors to the apostles, back in the 1960s, the Second Vatican Council, for the renewal of the church, which is always being renewed by the Spirit, but they saw two complementary ideas. One was something they called resourcement, which meant to return to the sources and to see over 2,000 years of church history, to try to maybe brush off, to dust off the writings of the earliest Christians, the earliest church fathers, and try to recapture and rediscover maybe what had somehow gotten obscured by time and by the accretion of various traditions, some of which were central to the church's identity and some which perhaps were expendable. But there was also this complementary idea, not only resourcement, but what they called aggiornamento, which is an Italian word for bringing for being up to date, so to speak. In other words, being engaged with the spirit of the day. And so there were these twin things, both of which are necessary. Resourcement without aggiornamento makes one nostalgic for some sort of idea or day that never perhaps existed in its fullness. Aggiornamento without resourcement leads one unmoored, like a ferry detached from its guiding cable. We need both. And so, in this American experiment, we need both. We need to be reminded again of what our founding vision was, the freedom to which we saw self-evident, the dignity of the human person, and that over 240 years, we have struggled with making that full promissory note, as Martin Luther King Jr. explained, made available in the Declaration of Independence, available to all Americans. And we would say, of course, including the unborn, who find themselves as the voiceless victims as well of our false understandings of freedom. So this speech, worth revisiting from Frederick Douglass, what I think is notable is not a bitterness, not a, it is the reasoned statement of someone who loves the idea upon which this country was founded and yet yearns for it to be more. That's the key. It's a looking back and a looking ahead. And as he points out in his speech, if you read it through, that every generation is responsible. See, the problem with nostalgia is we somehow think there was a day in which that was a golden age, that we really don't have to do anything in our current age but bring that back. The truth is we have to apply the principles anew in every generation, and that involves every citizen and everyone who wants this country to be all that it has claimed to be. Anyway, thanks for that little jewel of a discovery, Frederick Douglass speeches. It's worth reading. We'll be back with a new hour, including my conversation with Dr. Stacy Trisankos, chemist and homeschooling mother. This is The Mike Allen Show, and you are listening to Breadbox Media.
Listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.